Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just after 3 o'clock, final hour of Power for the week. Good to have you with us. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Stay up till 4 o'clock. Doc in at that point, burgundy and gold today, the DOC alongside. Let's do this. Before we get to all things AMAC and our picks coming up at 3:30, let's get to Jerome in National Harbor right here on the Team 980. Jerome, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. First time I called your show, but
well,
I love listening.
Welcome aboard.
Comes on right when I get your show comes on right when I get off work. My job is crazy, so listening to your show shifts my energy. That's me getting to a more peaceful place to go home.
Oh man, I appreciate that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I really appreciate the kind word.
I appreciate your show. I just really want to say the main thing for us is when I'm thinking about how we're moving with Jaden Daniels being under quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the Chicago Bears the other day, and they said Caleb Williams was under center 8 to 12 times in his last year of college, 70 times last year in pros, and so far this year 170 times this year so far. And with this new quarterback changing up the dynamic, it's shown that Caleb Williams has grown with his quarterback IQ, with his capabilities to read defenses better, and it slowed him down in the way he thinks and moves, which is improving him. So I think some people are saying it's too hard to learn. If Caleb Williams can learn it and jump 100 under-snap possessions, then I think definitely our quarterback, Jaden Daniels, can definitely get in there and do the deal.
I think he can absolutely do it and learn it, and I think we already started to see that again the last time he played against Seattle. But let me just ask you this, just to play devil's advocate, because there's no doubt when you watch Caleb Williams, you do see him under center, and all the numbers you just cited certainly show improvement and show a climb in that. The one thing that I wonder, though, that I don't have the answer to, and I don't know if you have the answer to it, maybe just an opinion, whatever, is he is a very inconsistent and sometimes inaccurate quarterback. And I wonder if being under center and the dropping back under center helps with that or hurts that. I don't know, because he wasn't that inaccurate that I remember at USC, but I think he got away with a lot of things at USC because they didn't play defense like they do in the NFL. So I'm trying to figure out exactly where his inaccuracy or inconsistencies come from. Is under center helping him? Or
I believe it's helping him.
Yeah.
It's helping him because in college, he threw a boatload of in there. Caleb Williams was an interception machine. He was a highlight reel. He was a scrambling guy that did all these things and threw off base and did all of these phenomenal things, but he was an interception machine. He threw 22 interceptions in his final year.
Mm.
So this new coach is growing him in a way that when you can watch him, his thought process, he thinks he prevents himself from actually going off script and doing all of these crazy things and just flinging the ball. He's actually thinking. You can see him thinking. And my one other thing, I want to say, I'd rather we have the highest draft pick possible, so that our guys who think they're geniuses and think they're outsmarting the league and trading back, don't trade back and take the highest talent available. Because I don't want them to pick. They've screwed up 2 second-round draft picks a third-round draft pick, cut a guy that they drafted themselves. So I need them to be in one spot that is so high. So no, if we're in the fifth, somewhere around there, we're getting an extremely high-level talent. Take that. I don't want to go back to the 10th or 11th because then they're going to think they're outsmarting everybody. Trade back. And then try to pick up more drafts and screw those draft picks up. We need high-level talent. And that's my take on it.
Jerome, I'm glad you called. I'm glad. I love the energy. Glad you like the show. Please call back again, okay?
Thank you, sir. You have a blessed weekend.
Have a great weekend as well. But we do have to correct something. Old AMAC was doing a little research. Now, Jerome, I believe said that Caleb Williams threw a ton of interceptions at USC.
Yeah.
I didn't remember him throwing a ton of interceptions. I remember him holding onto the ball, running sideline to sideline, you know, making plays at all platform angles and all that, all the highlight reel type stuff. But a lot of interceptions would probably indicate double-digit interceptions, somewhere in that range, maybe mid-teens.
Yeah.
AMAC, you've got some research there?
Yeah, so his final year, I mean, compared to the year before that, where he threw for 42 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
That was the Heisman Trophy winning year.
Yeah, that was the Heisman Trophy winning year. His final year, he did 30 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Okay, so his last 2 years at USC, 5 interceptions in his final year and 4 in his Heisman year?
5 and 5.
Oh, 5 and 5. So yeah. 10 interceptions over 2 years. By any reasonable standard, I would not define that as a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, no, but I do want to
get away with some stuff.
Yeah, I do want to. Yeah, exactly. I do want to agree with Jerome where it comes to, and I think this was the big kind of point that people were making about Caleb, was he made a lot of highlight, like spectacular plays.
Mm-hmm.
He could play clean at USC, but a lot of the love and hype for Caleb Williams was the highlight plays, and that's just not sustainable for NFL play.
Correct.
Unless you're like Patrick Mahomes, who even now you're seeing the offense is struggling. So
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I will agree with Jerome on that point. He was like a highlight machine.
Absolutely. All right. It is time for all things AMAC, and we're going to take a little look at some of the conference championship games on Saturday as well. Penn State has a new coach, but first I want to make mention, we won't have time to talk about this. I forgot to mention this tonight in little old Harrisburg, down 81, mm-hmm, in Virginia. You know what's going on?
No.
James Madison, the Dukes, number 25 of the country, try and go to a 12-1 as they host the Sun Belt Championship and try and beat Troy 8-4. And if they do, and if some things play out, i.e. Duke beats Virginia in the ACC championship,
they may get into the college football playoff. Also, they just hired Billy Napier as their head coach, James Madison.
Oh, they did? I missed that.
Yeah, that closed earlier today. So.
Oh, no kidding. I missed that.
Yeah, Billy Napier will be the new head coach for James Madison next year. Yeah.
I didn't like Billy Napier at Florida.
No.
I didn't think he was as bad as people made him out to be, but they weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a good hire for JMU.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of hype when Billy Napier went to Florida, but with these super conferences, there are a lot of good teams, and somebody has to lose. And unfortunately, Billy Napier just never had the offense to compete with other teams in the SEC, and they came up short. But I think most people you talk to will consider Billy Napier a great coach. I think he has a lot of promise and is known as a good play caller. So we'll see. James Madison definitely doesn't have the SEC competition.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say a little bit different in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
As opposed to the SEC. Now, obviously, they play some out-of-conference teams. But that's interesting. I did not know that. That's a great little nugget. I didn't even hear that because the last thing I heard was Chesney was just leaving for UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I didn't even know they had closed the door on that. All right, so good news and good nugget there. I mentioned one other big coaching situation kind of closed up today.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of a surprise, but Matt Campbell, the Iowa State head coach,
yeah,
who was not necessarily a hot name this cycle, but was a hot name in previous cycles, is going to Happy Valley.
Yeah.
To take on the Penn State job.
Yes.
Is that a, oh, crap, we don't know where else to go hire, or is that still a good hire?
I'm a little confused by it, if I'm being honest, because I thought that Matt Campbell would be, like, on the early list, but they contacted the BYU head coach, they contacted a couple of other coaches in order to take that job, but it seems like I just saw the reports breaking that talks were getting serious with Campbell over the last couple of days, and they finally closed on the deal today. So we'll see. But like we just brought up Billy Napier, he was considered a home run hire. A lot of people were excited in Florida, but you get in the SEC, a lot of those teams are competitive and good, and somebody has to lose, and Billy Napier came up short.
Overall, 72-55 as a head coach at Iowa State. So he'd been there for a while, obviously. You know, coached in the MAC before that, so he should have some, you know, the Bowling Green, Toledo area. He should still have some recruiting chops in that talent-rich area. He's been the Iowa State head coach since 2015, so and the Big 12 Coach of the Year twice. Not a name that I heard a lot of buzz about, again, and maybe his star has kind of drifted off a little bit, but he just got a big contract extension in August of this year. And, you know, they did beat Kansas State, who was number 17 in Ireland to start the year.
They played for the Big 12 championship last year, too.
I mean, 8-4 overall, 5-4 this year. Like, I mean, I'm sure he's getting a lot more money, but for God's sakes, I mean, I don't know what else Iowa State could have done to make him happy.
My thing, this is more on the Penn State side. You fired James Franklin. Is Matt Campbell going to get you over the hump now? You know,
it's a great question.
We'll see. Again, this is different competition in the Big Ten, respectfully to the Big 12, but it's just different.
Well,
you're playing
and
against
also,
Ohio State and Michigan.
And also, they may have – I mean, look, they've been a little feisty and plucky since firing Franklin. They're 3-3, right? Terry Smith's done a pretty good job as the interim head coach there, and a lot of support, including Micah Parsons, for whatever that's worth, and I would think it's worth something, were like, you know, we should really move on with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, they have the resources. They've been known to recruit the talent, but I guess we'll see. I understand James Franklin didn't get you over the hump, and before he was fired, things got bad. But if you're moving on from him, I would hope that you have somebody that you're very confident in, and this seems like their fourth or fifth guy down their list. So
yeah. Interesting, certainly developments, if you will, in Happy Valley. All right, so what games did you want to attack here as part of Championship Saturday? I mean, Georgia-Alabama and, of course, Indiana-Ohio State are the two that are going to get the most pomp and circumstance. I don't know if the ACC Championship Duke and Virginia does anything for you, but I got to be honest with you. Up against Indiana, Ohio State, I'm not watching much of Duke and Virginia unless we get to a point where Duke is about to pull the upset or it's real close.
Yeah, I think for me it's less about the games. I want to see them all. I think they're going to be good. But I think as the college football playoff rankings are pretty much situated 1-8, there are a couple of things that happened this week and there are a couple of things that could happen this weekend that would be interesting. Now, going up until this final or the most recent college football playoff rankings this Tuesday, Notre Dame was in front of Alabama. So Notre Dame was 9 and Alabama was 10. They switched this week. And it's interesting because a lot of people are saying that with BYU playing Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship, we already have the group of five who will eat up a bid. We already have an ACC champion, presumably.
Presumably,
who will eat up a bid. So you need to be in the top 10 is the point in order to secure your spot in the college football playoff. But if BYU somehow beats Texas Tech, Texas Tech is solidified in the college football playoff, and then BYU will
takes
get
a spot.
So that will kick out Notre Dame. So that's an interesting
So we could be without Notre Dame and Miami,
basically under that
scenario, right?
Under that scenario.
And there's a lot of people that are kicking and screaming, of course, about Miami already being behind Notre Dame anyway.
Yes, exactly. And that's the second part of this is if BYU loses, Miami would presumably move up a spot so that Notre Dame will be 10, Miami will be 12. How would the committee look at that? A Notre Dame team who has been ahead of Miami all year in the college football playoff rankings since they came out, will they finally jump Notre Dame and honor the head-to-head of Miami beating Notre Dame earlier in the year?
Which was the first week of the season.
Yes.
And by 3 points, if I'm not mistaken,
three
right?
3 points. I believe it was 27 to 24.
Right. So, and Miami doesn't play this weekend, and neither does Notre Dame.
No.
So they can't improve or worsen their standing or their record or open up any eyes or what have you. So it would have to be based on doing something that they haven't been willing to do so far.
Exactly. It's play just moving, honoring a head-to-head.
Right.
Honoring a head-to-head.
Now, what would help Miami, and I guess theoretically Notre Dame, is if Texas Tech, like you said, wins the Big 12 championship and you don't have BYU as a factor because, like you said, Texas Tech would drop, but they wouldn't drop out, right?
No.
So Texas Tech beating BYU. How about Georgia beating Alabama that in the SEC championship, dropping Alabama potentially behind Notre Dame and Miami?
That is an interesting point that we've been talking about in all week on the SEC. Now, here's the thing. Alabama would go to the SEC championship, which would make them, in everyone's eyes, the second best SEC team. Would a loss knock them out of the college football playoff? That would be kind of
problematic. Would be a third loss.
It would be kind of problematic, though, because then you have teams like Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. Granted, they lost to Oklahoma during the season, but they finished ahead of all those teams in the SEC standing. A lot of people think that they're safe. Unless they take a terrible loss to Georgia. And I would like to believe that they're safe, too, as long as they don't lose poorly. Just because you shouldn't be punished for being the second best team in your conference.
Meaning they can lose, drop to 10-3, but if they lose 27-24, you think they're still in.
They should be safe.
And you say, well, they shouldn't get punished for being the second best team in their conference, and I would generally agree.
Mm-hmm.
But how about Miami getting punished? They're not even allowed to play in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, but that's because of their conference record.
But arguably, they're no worse than the second best team in their conference, right?
I would say they're the best team in their conference
right.
when you talk about like how they look. But when you're talking about conference standings, Alabama second in their conference. Like just going by conference record.
Just by the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, by the record. Miami is not. And they had two bad losses within their conference.
Yeah.
One of Alabama's losses was a bad loss to Florida State, but everybody else they beat.
Right.
So
Every year we have this kind of, you know, it's kind of like when we get to March Madness and you start talking about, you know, a 17-win team that makes a run in their conference tournament and whether they should get in over a 20-win team from, you know, the Big 12 that finishes sixth in the standings and exits in the first round of the Big 12 tournament and whatever. And these debates will live on and on forever. Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, which of those two games are you more lathered up for?
I think Alabama, Georgia. I think this is Kirby Smart's kryptonite. He's 1-7 against Alabama, and that's going
it's
back.
Good nugget.
Yeah, going back to his time against playing against Nick Saban.
It's a good
Alabama.
McNugget. I
yeah,
like that.
So can he finally get over this hump this year? I'm not sure. If I had to pick, I would probably pick Georgia just because this is the second time they're playing this year. And I just think that Georgia and this defense can kind of control the line of scrimmage. If you had to pick a weak point of Alabama, it's their lack of run game and their offensive line in general.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have a trouble protecting Ty Simpson and running the ball. So I think Georgia can take advantage of that and not allow Ty Simpson to get the ball to these dynamic receivers that he has who are complete game changers.
All things AMAC, wrapping it up, the G-men are on bye this week, so they can't lose. Good news for you.
Yeah.
Good news for you.
But guess what? When we come back off that bye.
Oh, yeah. It's on.
It's going to be a long week. That following week is going to be a long week.
It's on, baby. Next
for
Sunday
someone.
At MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's the G-Men against the Commanders and presumably Jaden Daniels. All right, coming up next, a couple of minutes on the Cowboy loss last night to the Lions. Despite Cowboy B not showing up and not facing the music, we will soldier on. And then our dual Super Sunday six-packs coming up after 3:30 on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up, our dual Super Sunday six-pack. Six teams, the six best teams in the NFL, ranked 1 through 6. Not 6 through 1. No, we do things differently around here. As well, six games against the NFL spread, including the Commanders and the Vikings. We pick the Commanders game each and every week, whether we like it or not. We don't do over-unders. We just do the point spread, and that's it. We will pick the Commanders and the Vikings in five other games in just a couple of moments. But last night, Thursday night football, a weird game, right? The Lions outlast the Cowboys 44-30. The Cowboys now mathematically have like a less than 10% chance of making the playoffs. The Cowboys had won three games in a row going into last night. The Lions are now 8-5. The Cowboys are 6-6-1. Listen, there was a couple of weird officiating things. The offensive pass interference. Do you have that audio, actually, AMAC, that I sent? Oh, maybe I didn't send it to you, and I'm so sorry. I think I forgot to send you all the audio that I accumulated last night.
I can find it real quick.
Oh, my God. I think I just realized I had all this LeBron James audio and all this audio from the game last night. There was an offensive pass interference call against Jake Ferguson of the Cowboys in the red zone that was a terrible call, and everybody can see it. And it cost the Cowboys potentially 4 points. Now, it's not the reason why they lost. Not the reason why they lost. The reason why they lost is because they couldn't stop Jahmyr Gibbs, right? And because they couldn't tackle. And because Amon-Ra St. Brown decided to play on a sprained ankle, no practice, and had almost 100 yards, 6 for 92, and was just a demon, and had a big catch late that kind of isolated or kind of iced the game, if you will. Tesla had a touchdown, not too many catches, but Jameson Williams had almost 100, no touchdowns. Jared Goff, 309. Detroit was able to run the ball. Not tremendous, but enough, 109 on the ground. Again, Gibbs, only 12 of 43, 3.6, but he had three touchdowns rushing, plus seven catches for 77 yards. Something everybody always forgets is that three more wins in their holster. But that's only going to get them to 9-7-1, assuming that they do win three out of the four. That's not going to be good enough to make the playoffs. They need to, obviously, win all four to get to 10-6-1. And then they need to have the Eagles lose all of their remaining games. And the Eagles right now are 8-4. So the Eagles would have to go 0-5 to drop to 8-9 in order for the Cowboys at 9, am I doing the math on this? 9-7-1 to get in. I think that's the way they would get in. I believe if the Eagles dropped one out of the five, I believe that would eliminate the Cowboys, but I would have to double check that. Either way, I mean, it's hard to see the Eagles only winning one out of five, right? If that's the number, or losing all five, if that's the number, and that's the scenario. Just like the Commanders are still mathematically alive, but really hard to see the Cowboys and the Eagles both, you know what, the bed. Now, some of that would be at the hands of the Commanders, so they have a direct opportunity, but, you know, you get the point. Just a devastating loss for the Cowboys, who thought, hey, man, you know, Detroit prime, no Amon-Ra, and then he plays. They lose Brian Branch. Their secondary is decimated, and they still, you know, score 30 points, but their defense, which was so good the last couple of weeks, couldn't tackle anybody. And it was like pinball. And then the weird safety call, which all the, you know, the Jordan Schultzes and the Ari Myrovs were so convinced that it was a terrible call, and Dak actually got the ball on the nose on the goal line, and Terry McCauley was like, you know, got it. I mean, it's a good call, right? But the offensive pass interference one is one that generated a lot of conjecture, let's just call it. I don't think that's the reason why the Cowboys lost, but it definitely changed the game. All right. You want to get to the reaction? Let's quickly get to the reaction, and then we'll take a timeout, and then we'll do our picks. I want to point out the Cowboys did get a field goal after this, but it did potentially cost them 4 points, and maybe it kind of just burst their bubble. Nope? Okay. That's all right. That's okay. We'll bypass it. Either way, you know, the Cowboys suffering a big blow, and Cowboy Bob, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Again, probably healing that broken leg. Let's take a timeout. Let's get to our Super Sunday six-pack selections next on the Team 980.
Gibbs the back. Give it to him to the outside. Blocking, and into the end zone he goes. Tristan Colon led the way.
Don't be too hard on Cowboy Bob, because you know, I think what you do with AMAC and what you do with Cowboy Bob, I think that's amazing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming down the home stretch here on a Friday, a feel-good football Friday. So let's get to it, baby, because why don't we? On the Team 980, we pick six games against the NFL spread, including every Washington game, whether we like it or not. We don't do the over-unders because that's a waste of time. Oh, yes. And we've got to tell you, oh, yes, I forgot my hosting duties here. My bad. Before we do that, our picks are sponsored by our good friends at IHOP, introducing the IHOP Value Menu, where all of your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP Value Menu available every day at IHOP, $7 in some locations. Yeah. Good go for it. Nice, warm, savory breakfast. By the way, Tyler texted me and said, J.N. Carter, out Chargers. J.N. Carter, out Chargers, which is Jalen Carter
out for the Chargers.
Eagles is out for the Chargers game.
I think he's doing a better job than Adam Schefter.
I think so, too.
I think we should send him to the game.
NFL insider extraordinaire Tyler Russo.
My guy.
There you go. He's coming on Christmas Day, so he'll be with us in studio for a couple of days.
It'll be a smelly day in studio. Me and Tyler, fart competition.
Yeah, that is not us. All right, we got to go through this one through six in terms of the games and then the teams, and away we go. So I'll make it quick. Game number one of our Sunday Super Six Pack, the Cleveland Browns at home against the dastardly Tennessee Titans. Myles Garrett might not only get the sack record in this game, he might get 30 sacks on the year in this game. I think he's got 19. The 3-9 Browns, sure, Shedeur Sanders struggled last week. Who didn't think that was going to happen against a really good, aggressive San Francisco defense? This is the Tennessee Titans at 1-11. The Titans are okay on defense, but the Browns are better on offense, even if Shedeur struggles a little bit. Cam Ward sucks. Their offensive line stinks. Give me the Browns. -4.5 in game one of our Super Sunday six-pack. Game number two, we go out west. The Denver Broncos, last week's opponent, at Northwest Stadium in Landover, playing until about midnight on Sunday night, so they might be a little bit gassed, but good news for them, they're playing the Las Vegas Raiders, and they'll have about 30,000 Broncos fans in Vegas, in Sin City, at Allegiant Stadium. 4:05 Eastern Time kickoff on CBS. The 10-2 Broncos are 7.5-point favorites against the Raiders, who are pathetic, putrid, awful, disgusting, dreadful in every way. Yeah, their defense is okay. Maybe their defense can hang in there. The last two times these two teams played, it was a 10-7 Bronco win on a very windy night. Wind won't be an issue. Give me the Broncos. -7.5 over the Las Vegas Raiders in game two of our Super Sunday six-pack. Two, North FLA on Sunday afternoon, one of the good 1 o'clock games. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah, that's right. The Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Again, 1 o'clock CBS Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville, Florida. Expected to be in the low 60s. Perfect football weather. There's the Indianapolis Colts, who fought like hell in Kansas City and then lost to Houston at home last week, who have been turning the ball over way too much, who could still be capable, who might still surprise me. But Jacksonville at home, even with Trevor Lawrence being so up and down, even with no Travis Hunter, I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars at home as home dogs. +1.5. Watch out for Pierce. I got it. Watch out for Taylor. Of course, you know Daniel Jones. But the Jaguars, they can run the football too. They can run the football too. And if Brian Thomas can kind of get on track, and Jacksonville's got some other weapons, oh yeah, like De'Ami Brown, they can win that game. Give me Jacksonville +1.5. Speaking of the Texans, we mentioned them just a second ago. They won in Indianapolis last week. C.J. Stroud back. Sunday Night Football, 8:20, NBC and the Peacock against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are fighting for their playoff lives. Kansas City did not look good against Dallas last week, offensively and defensively. The Texans are a menace defensively. I think they get after Kansas City. I think they make life for Mahomes and friends miserable. I think the Texans do just enough on offense. Give me the Houston Texans plus 3.5 on the road at Arrowhead Sunday Night Football. Game number 5 of our Super Sunday six-pack. The Los Angeles Chargers are at home on Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. As Tyler just told you, no Jalen Carter for the Eagles. And the Eagles right now have no spine, no confidence, no juice, no charisma. Sure, there'll be a ton of Eagles fans there. There always is. Sure, Justin Herbert is still a question mark to play in the game, but I think he's going to play. The Chargers are going to run the ball a little bit better without Carter, Omarion Hampton, and so on and so forth. Give me the Chargers and their defense as home dogs, plus 2.5 on Monday night to the Philadelphia Eagles. And our final game in our Super Sunday six-pack, as we said, we pick the Washington game each and every week. Jaden Daniels is back, boys and girls. And the Washington Commanders are a 1.5-point favorite on the road at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota against Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings. 1 o'clock on Fox. Pregame coverage beginning at 9 a.m. right here on the Team 980. Give me the Washington Commanders minus 1.5. Sure, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison going to be worrisome. The blitz going to be worrisome. Can't turn the ball over, but the Commanders have played better on defense, as we all know, limiting bigger plays. Hopefully, they don't get majorly exposed by the wide receivers if J.J. McCarthy happens to be on. I'm banking on J.J. McCarthy not being on and an improved, to some degree, pass rush for the Commanders. Maybe we'll see Drake Jackson. I don't know. But away we go. Give me the Commanders minus 1.5 on the road in Minnesota. So you have Cleveland minus 4.5 at home over Tennessee. Denver on the road minus 7.5 over Vegas. Jacksonville at home plus 1.5 over Indy. Texans at Arrowhead plus 3.5 over Kansas City Sunday night. Chargers at home on Monday night. Give me plus 2.5 over Philadelphia. And Washington on the road minus 1.5 over Seattle. Our top six teams in the NFL entering this week of play, week 14 in the NFL. Well, let's see. The Rams, they let me down last week, right? I mean, they're 9-3. But I don't know. You can't lose that game to the Panthers, but the Rams will be back on their horse this week against the Arizona Cardinals, who might not have Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm still going to stay with the Rams as my number one team and not punish them. Now, the Seattle Seahawks are 7-3. The Seahawks did kind of let me down a little bit. The Seahawks have been not so good of late. They did beat the Vikings 26-0, but that's easy. 30-24 2 weeks ago against the Titans on the road, and that 4-interception game against the Rams. But again, even though their record isn't overwhelming, I still believe in them, and I still believe they are ultimately better than New England. So I'm going to stick with them at number 2. And I'm going to stick with New England at number 3, despite their record being better. We know about the schedule. We know about the division. We know about this. We know about that. They might be the most well-rounded team, offense, defense, and special teams, and coaching. But New England stays at number 3. Now, the Chicago Bears went into Philadelphia, a desperate Eagles team, and largely ran all over them and kicked their ass. Give me the Bears to stay at number four. So that means our top four has not changed. Our top four has not changed. The San Francisco 49ers were our fifth-ranked team going into last week. And this was last Wednesday. The 49ers beat the Browns on the road going away 26-8. We know their defense is good. They hammered the Panthers. They create turnovers. Brock Purdy is getting better. George Kittle, so on and so forth. The 49ers stay at number five. And number six, the Houston Texans. One in Indianapolis on the road? Why should I punish them? They stay at number six. So for the first time ever in the history of doing this dual Super Sunday six-pack section segment, we have the same exact top six, the same exact order from last week. Number one, the Rams. Number two, Seattle. Number three, New England. Number four, Chicago. Number five, San Francisco. Number six, the Houston Texans. They stay in that order as we enter week number 14 of the National Football League season. And we come back and wrap it all up with Dumb Dumb of the Day next on the team. 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the DOC. Richard Doc Walker is coming up next. Burgundy and gold today. He'll take you home on this Friday as you slosh around in the snow and hopefully not too much ice and build up and all that good stuff. Be safe out there. Don't drive like a maniac. Speaking of driving, that's what takes us to Minnesota. I'm not a big political guy. I think you all know that. However, I have strong feelings about certain things, and one of them is the word and the usage of the R word. And no, I don't care about the term Redskins. The R word, you know what R word, if you have half a brain and not a peanut in it, is the R word that I'm talking about. You know what the R word means. You've heard, unfortunately, the leader of the free society in which we live in use it several times. Because, I'm going to back off and not say what I want to say. But there was a war waged, for whatever political reason, and I don't care, with Tim Walz, the Minnesota governor, who ran for vice president. And apparently, motorists have been driving by his home in Minnesota, shouting out and calling him the R word. And he is, quote, deeply concerned that the hate, which was absolutely started and triggered by the leader of the free world, could turn into violence. And he's not wrong, by the way. So yesterday, he told reporters when meeting about the state budget that there have been repeated drivers yelling, walking up, sending tens of thousands of letters, all sorts of things because of some political stuff, right? And he said, quote, this creates danger. And I'll tell you what, in my time on this, I'd never seen this before. People driving by my house and using the R word in front of people. This is shameful. And I have yet to see an elected official, a Republican elected official, say, you know what, you're right. That's shameful. He should not say it. So look, I'm worried. We know how these things go. They start with taunts. They turn to violence. So I'm deeply concerned. Now, whatever political side you're on doesn't really matter. Remember, in Minnesota, there was two politicians that were gunned down at their doorstep not too long ago. So don't think that it can't happen, number one. Number two, the use of the R word in any context, in any way, shape, or form, is absolutely abhorrent, vile, disgusting, uneducated, ridiculous, and insane. Update your freaking vocabulary, you dumbasses that use that word, including Donald Trump. Including Donald Trump. How do you like them freaking apples? Anybody that uses that word qualifies for that, especially the leader of the free world. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much to AMAC. Great job out of him all week. Thanks to Cowboy B for breaking his leg, jumping off the Cowboys bandwagon, and not showing up today. Enjoyed that. Good representation of Cowboy Nation. Maybe we'll find out if he's okay next week. Thanks to you for being a part of the show all week long. I think we did the whole week without a guest. I love it. We don't do cookie cutter box score bingo radio around here, baby. From the Mike Shanahan of Sports Talk Radio, I wish you all a great weekend. Be safe, be healthy, be happy. Crank up the fireplace, baby, and don't do anything stupid. We'll see you here on Monday. Doc is next.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.